Javi Baez is getting, I think, Dan Hasty, one of our baseball insiders. He is the voice of the Tigers' high affiliate in the Midwest League, the West Michigan Whitecaps. Also, his Road to Detroit podcast focuses on the Tigers' minor leagues, and it's a wonderful listen. You can download it wherever you download podcasts. Want to get his thoughts on the Baez signing. Dan, welcome back.
Well, yeah, who would have thought that we'd get a John Morosi bomb at 3 o'clock in the morning? That was that was unexpected. I mean, I know a lot of people have been talking about it, waiting to see if the Tigers would pull the trigger on one of these shortstops. But, you know, it obviously wasn't who everybody was, I think, initially hoping for. But, you know, it's like getting a great Christmas present and having your kids say, you know, but it's not the one I wanted.
I figured when I saw Corey Seager get the $325 million from the Rangers, and the Rangers, by the way, spent almost $600 million in free agency. But when I saw that money, is Craig going to get $350 million, $340 million from somebody? He's a step up on Seager. So I knew then the Tigers were done, and I think they waited, too, for what that number would be. And maybe they were hoping the market wouldn't take it into the 300s, but it went where everybody expected. And Baez, as I kind of stepped back this morning and tweeted out, Dan, he makes them better at shortstop with his glove. He makes them better in the lineup with his ability, not the power of Correa, but power. He cut down on the strikeouts last year, so they're a better team. And that lineup, based on whether or not you get Green and Torkelson or just Green there, is looking pretty good right now. I'm talking 1-9. They still need some work and some younger guys to step up for another season in the rotation. Could use a couple of middle relief guys, but making progress. I like it.
Well, and how about the fact that Javier Baez, and of course, you know, we're just talking about the reports that are linking these two together. They got to, you know, still go through official and, you know, physical things like that and all that before 11:59 tomorrow. But he gives them swagger. He gives them charisma. It's something that this team's kind of lacked. They've needed an identity. They've needed someone to kind of show the fact that this team has made progress. And look, they call him El Mago, the magician, for a reason. It's because he's one of the most electric players in Major League Baseball. You know, we just are looking at him, and a lot of people are going, oh, well, he's not Corey Seager, and he's not Marcus Semien. It's like, you know, if this was a year ago, you would have loved Javier Baez over Marcus Semien. Baez has been doing this for years. So if we just take a step back and think about the fact that now the Tigers have one of the most exciting players in baseball, and we talk about, you know, 6 for 140 is the reports right now. And look, I don't think that he's the player that Carlos Correa is, but I also don't think that Carlos Correa is worth double or triple what Javier Baez is worth. And when you really boil it down, Bill, the opt-out comes in, the reported opt-out is after 2 years. So is this a 6 for 140, or is this really a 2 for 50 million-ish contract? Because we live in this world where when there's an opt-out available, players tend to take it. So I think the Tigers have done a great job that they've spent money here and now, but they've also given themselves a lot of future flexibility.
Dan, you brought up that opt-out, and that's important here because that two-year window gives Baez a chance to see where the Tigers are. And if he does opt out and they're doing well and they want him, you also can still develop Kreidler, and who knows, he could become a third baseman. You have trade material. You know the Road to Detroit. We'll talk about that in a moment. But look at Baez last season, .265. You look at 18 doubles, 2 triples, 31 homers, 87 RBIs. Or RBI, 80 runs scored, 18 steals, great arm at short, and according to baseballreference.com's wins above average by position, only the Phillies and Angels got less out of shortstop last season in all of baseball.
And you know what? You know, in 2 years, a lot of things can happen in 2 years. I mean, in 2 years, we could see a situation where Ryan Kreidler is pushing Javier Baez for a spot. I mean, obviously, that's not the ideal situation for Baez, but okay, there's a chance that he plays exceptionally well and he opts back in, or he opts out and you want to bring him back and you'd have that opportunity to do it. But in 2 years, a lot of things can happen. You can have a prospect breakout. You can end up making a trade that addresses that position further. You could end up with another free agent. So, you know, rather than thinking, oh, well, it's not Carlos Correa and it's not 8, 9, 10 years, just look at it as for 2 years, you don't have to worry about one of the most important positions on that diamond.
And my point that the Tigers were right there at the bottom on getting the most out of shortstop last season, and nothing against Nico Goodrum or Castro, the Castros, Willie Ur Harold or Zach Short, who was born to play shortstop. This is a good pickup because that two-year window on where they're going, will they contend for a wild card playoff in 2022? Is 2023 the go year? If it is, either way, you have Baez and you're set up the middle. Now, the big question will be when you look at, you know, one of the Castros over at second, and you got Scope could play first, but if Torkelson tears it up, he could end up being the first baseman. You move Scope over to second, who you sign to a deal, and you're set. You really are. You start to look at the possibilities with the addition of Green and Torkelson to this lineup and the power it adds. Things are on the upswing in a quick way with Avila, A.J. Hinch, and the Tigers.
I mean, all you have to do is look at the fact that the Tigers went, I think it was 68-61 in their final, 130 games. So they were good enough then to be competitive. And all they've done is added a gold glove catcher, added a, you know, one of the best defensive shortstops, who, by the way, smashed 30 home runs last year, and brought in a starting pitcher that already adds to what's considered the organizational strength in starting pitching. So do I think that they could challenge for a spot in a one-game wild card? Yeah, I do. I don't think they have enough ammo to get there yet, but free agency isn't over yet. We might have to take a little bit of a delay here with the CBA situation coming up at 11:59 tomorrow, but there's going to be more time for them to address things. There's going to be more money available to them, I would assume, especially after not going after and not getting Correa. So I think if they were to continue on this path, if they were deciding that, you know, hey, we've waited long enough, our fans have been patient enough, we're going to continue to address this, we're going to bring in some more guys for the bullpen. I wouldn't be surprised to see them bring in another starting pitcher. But if they really have the shot, I think they're getting close. They're not quite there yet. But if they start to go out and get a couple of arms, especially in that bullpen, because if you're going to be a contender, you got to get big outs late in ball games. So if they start to address that, I think we're going to be talking about a possible wild card situation.
Yeah. Hey, compare this offseason to a year ago. Compare everything after early May this year to a year ago. And I know you had the pandemic season, but, you know, Baez to me is a quality consolation prize to not paying more than double that. I don't think you get the triple, but at least, you know, you go 325 to what Seager got with the Rangers. And they got a guy, I love the opt-out after 2 years. I think that's a great play for both sides.
I think that's, in this game, financial flexibility is probably the most important thing because it allows you to pivot. It allows you to let this all play out in front of you. And then you can adjust on the fly to what you need. I mean, based on what they've done, even with Rodriguez, even with Baez now, I think they're clearly sending a message that they're not afraid to spend money. And they do think that they're close enough at this point where they can start to spend money and then put together a really competitive team. So I don't think we're going to find ourselves in a situation a year from now where they're going to say, hey, you know what, we're just not going to spend any money anymore. Like, this is the trajectory now. This is the path. It will continue to build as we go on. But the only way that you can build effectively from a financial standpoint, because you can't buy a World Series, is you have to be able to have flexibility to address the needs you have as you have them. And the only way to do that is to build it the way the Tigers have. Now they've spent money, and it's been significant money, but things can change. And in a year or 2 years, the needs that this team has now won't look like they will in 2023. And their ability to pivot then is probably what's going to keep them competitive for a longer period of time.
And you have, you know, right now, what? You look at this lineup, and they've improved. They've improved at catcher. They have more depth and flexibility. They've improved greatly at shortstop compared to the shortstop by committee we watched earlier this year. Green will add a lot. I believe that. Torkelson will get a chance in spring training to win that first base job and move Scope back over to second. And you got A.J. Hinch. You got Fetter. You got the coaching staff. You got Avila in the front office. I know you do the Road to Detroit podcast. That minor league system probably is stocked as good as any time in franchise history.
No, and you know what? They've got a couple of dudes on the way. I mean, it's not like you're just hoping to get lucky and maybe you can have a guy break out and, you know, kind of just do the same thing you've been doing for years. Like, there are two players who are probably the best pair of position player prospects in Major League Baseball, and they're headed to your lineup. So, you know, you've got that waiting in your back pocket. So you've got that coming on the way. And I think that's a big deal for other players. I think they're looking at that. I mean, Javier Baez knows that nobody's coming up to take his spot. I mean, Ryan Kreidler, he could easily be in the infield somewhere. But just like Javier Baez, and I think this is something that needs to get mentioned about Baez, he is just as experienced at second base and at third base as he is at shortstop. So, again, this allows the Tigers flexibility. And you know how big A.J. Hinch is on versatility. He wants guys who can move around, play other positions. And I think that's a big reason why. Just as much as how he wants to fill up a lineup card each and every night, I think he wants to be able to construct his team and get the most out of them. So if that means moving Javier Baez to second base because all of a sudden you've got a better option at shortstop, that's a good problem to have.
By the way, one note from defensive run save since 2016, the Tigers were last by a mile. Only the Phillies and the Orioles. Like, we're talking about these analytics, these numbers, which a lot of teams go by. Shortstop was a huge hole with the Tigers. And you look at that six-year deal, reported $140 million, and that two-year opt-out. I mean, that is good stuff. And think about a potential opening day lineup. Badu in left field, leading off, Grossman batting second. In right, Candelario at third, Miggy at DH, Baez behind him, so Miguel's going to see some better pitches to hit. Scope at first, and it could be Torkelson, Barnhart at catcher, Riley Green in center field, and Castro at second base. But if Torque wins a spot on the roster playing first, you'd move Scope back over to second, and then redo that with Badu, Grossman, Candelario, Cabrera, Baez, Scope, Barnhart, Green, oh my God, and Torkelson. Are you kidding me? That's awesome.
I mean, and think about this too. Think about where that lineup is now as compared to where they were last season. How many different names and faces showed up, and how the Willie Peraltas and Tyler Alexanders of the world were giving them quality appearances, innings, at-bats, you name it. The Dustin Garneaus of the world, right? Wow. The Eric Hosses. I mean, that was a 77-win team. They were almost a 500 team with a handful of guys that really they got for very little, to next to nothing. So the fact that now they're able to really invest in talent and you're giving it to a coaching staff that, from all indications, develops talent as good as anybody in Major League Baseball, that's why I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they could contend for a wild card spot this coming season.
Dan Hasty, he is voice of the Tigers, high affiliate, the West Michigan Whitecaps, and Road to Detroit podcasts are out there. You can listen to Torkelson, Green, and others, the biggest names, a loaded farm system, all trying to get off on the Road to Detroit, that last exit there by Comerica Park. Just search Road to Detroit podcast. Dan, great news with Baez. I like it. It's a good consolation prize. Correa would have been, you know, selling tickets immediately, people going nuts. But it is pretty cool from my Twitter feed and my friends and a lot of Cubs fans on the west side of the state here in Michigan. They love Baez. They really do. They think he's a huge pickup.
He is a must-watch player. And, you know, I was just talking to somebody who had been watching him his entire career in Chicago, and they said, sometimes he'll make you a little crazy, but a lot more often than not, you're going to love that you have him on your side. I think he's going to be so much fun. And look, that's what this game needs to be all about. We need to be having fun while we play. And if we're not doing that, we're not doing it right. So I think a lot of people, I would say this, just give Javier Baez a chance. He's not Carlos Correa, and he's not supposed to be, but he's going to do a lot of things that you're going to really love.
I loved our conversation, Dan Hasty. Remember Road to Detroit podcast in terms of the Tigers farm system. Listen to the entire year of interviews. Solid work there from Dan. Hey, man, enjoy the holidays if we don't talk soon, okay?
Sounds good, Bill. You too.